We want to continue to pray for those in California who have lost loved ones. How many are missing? The loss of homes and businesses, firefighters putting their lives at risk with limitations in fighting these wildfires. Certainly we want to pray for all of them. And something else to mention here is pray for their opportunity, those that have not turned to God, to do so and obey the gospel of Christ. This could bring forth, of course, something good out of something bad. Well, our study this morning is concerning the third person of the Godhead. We'll want to spend several lessons on this. It's a much neglected study, but let us approach our study with an open mind, accepting what the Word of God reveals to us. As there is a lot of misunderstanding concerning the nature and the work of the Holy Spirit, as some mistakenly believe that the Holy Spirit is only an influence or just power. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Of course not. And there are many denominational preachers who believe and preach this, that the Holy Spirit acts directly, the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, they call it, on the heart of the individual, separate and apart from the Word of God. Well, they cannot prove that by the Scriptures. That's trusting feelings instead of the Word, the truth, the Word of God. So we need to focus on this fact. Everything which we are able to know concerning the Holy Spirit is found in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. And let's not forget that. And we want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that is remembered by the initials PFE as we go about our daily lives. Let's put that, of course, to use. Now, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. But then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, as we see in John 4:24. Now, I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience, we would look forward to sitting down together and opening up God's Word. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Of course, your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study concerning the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Now, let's start out with what the Holy Spirit is not. Some people are led to believe that the Spirit is an element, like gas or vapor, or poured out as liquid. And that way that they're overwhelmed in this situation of pouring out like a liquid, and that they're getting that from Acts 2:17. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on those that received it. And that's what they're missing out there. And you go, to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, and this is the day the church began there in Jerusalem. And this was the first day of the week. And you see what happened there when the Holy Spirit, well, let's just read it. Acts 2, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost in the King James. Now I'm going to use spirit in the place of ghost here. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, by the fire being mentioned, some take that like a gas, you know, vapor. Those things are not what is being proclaimed here. You see, it's like as a fire. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them just as Jesus had promised. And back in chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. That cleared it up, didn't it? After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's where people are misunderstanding. It's the power they received. And the Holy Spirit himself is not a vapor, a gas, or a liquid. Of course not. God created matter and the elements. You know, that's not who God is. Of course not. And here's another problem, what the Holy Spirit is not. Some are thinking of him, and I use the personal pronoun, capital H, as a mysterious it, an influence that works upon the individual in a way that he cannot understand. But yet we can understand if we study God's Word, accept the truth. The Holy Spirit is not an it. And we'll see that in just a moment when we look at other verses. Something else to mention, what the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not the Bible. The Holy Spirit is eternal and existed before the Word of God was written. In fact, the written Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. As you see in 2 Peter 1:21, the latter part, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And look at 2 Timothy 3, starting with verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Did we note that? What's able to make us wise unto salvation? The Holy Scriptures. Through faith. How do we get our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where we better be, having obeyed the gospel. Now look at verse 16. All Scripture, not some, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word here is as if God breathed out the word. The inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, not sinless perfect, but mature and complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now what's lacking? Do you need something outside of the Word of God? No. Better be our answer. No. In the spiritual aspect of our lives, there's nothing lacking. We don't need something outside the Word of God. Do we understand that? We stay with the Scriptures, then we will get that plain message. Yes, this thoroughly furnishes us unto all good work. It contains all things unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, 2, isn't it? Now, notice the Holy Spirit, yes, brought forth the Word of God. So the Bible is not the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to go to, we'll start with Matthew 13, 19, as this is very important in getting this concept. The parable of the sower, S-O-W-E-R, one who's sowing seed, like, you know, you're on a farm and you're going out to plant, and you have a bag of seed putting into the soil. And so Jesus called the Word of God the Word of the Kingdom in Matthew 13, 19. And he used the term the seed. Now, in Luke's account of the parable of the sower, you'll find verse 11 in chapter 8 of Luke. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Now, I am emphasizing this because the Holy Spirit brought forth the seed. That's how important it is to understand, as we study the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, His work through the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. Now, as you see in this parable, there was four types of soils, or that's representing hearts. One was hard, you know, ground, wayside, and that doesn't get accepted. The birds come and take it away. That's Satan seeing, you know, that it doesn't need to stay there. It may germinate, so he doesn't want you to think on it. He knows the power of God's Word. You see, that's a lot of people are not knowing what Satan knows. He knows the power of the Word of God. And so he wants that Word taken out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then you have the rocky soil representing what? A person who obeys the gospel. They hear and receive the word with joy, but they have no root. Yep, it's that rock. And then the plant withers and dies. Well, for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And so many have done that. And we want to see them come back. And then there's the thorns that represent, you know, the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Of course, they choke out the plant, and the plant dies. But again, this is someone that obeys the gospel. They've heard the truth. They've received the seed, the Word of God, into their heart. But then that seed is choked out by the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's not the kind of heart to have, is it? But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. The good soil, the plant, you know, is with roots grounded and receiving the moisture, and it's just growing. That's the person who accepts the seed, the Word of God, into their hearts, and they continue to feed upon God's Word. They're growing and producing fruit, coming forth to the glory of God. Now that's who we need to be, the good and honest heart. Notice, having heard the Word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now this is important. As we're seeing the Holy Spirit brought forth the seed, the Word of God, which when planted in the heart, the mind, that is, of an honest person, will bring forth after its kind. Here you have the law of sowing and reaping. If you plant corn, what do you expect to reap? Tomatoes? No, of course not. You expect to get corn, and you plant corn, you're going to get corn. When you plant the Word of God in an honest heart, you're going to get what? A Christian. Yes, the doctrine of Christ has been taught and received into the heart, and thus comes forth in obedience to the gospel as a Christian, a true follower of Christ, not some denominational name. You see, a Christian is not produced by denominational doctrine. You see, in those plants, those denominational plants, what did Jesus say in Matthew 15:13? Every plant that has not been planted by my heavenly Father shall be what? Rooted up. Well, that's the law of sowing and reaping, Galatians 6:7-8. You can sow to the flesh and you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit and you're going to reap life everlasting. That's right. This is seen in the physical realm of farming, planting seed, and we need to see it in the spiritual realm. The Holy Spirit producing the seed, the Word of God. How important is this concept? Well, we can't emphasize it enough in our study of the third person of the Godhead. Now, I want us to go to John chapter 14 and look at verse 26, because we need to understand the Holy Spirit is a divine person. That's right, a divine person, not a mysterious it. We're going to see what the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit as a divine person. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, preparing them for his death that's coming and his departure. But he will, of course, be risen from the grave. Now, verse 26 of chapter 14, John. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, again, I'm using Spirit instead of Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Did you notice he? Now, let's go to chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Here's a name for the Holy Spirit. Spirit of truth. It's another name. Which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He. There it is again. Now, chapter 16, verse 13. This hard to nail it home. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Did we get the point? The Holy Spirit is a divine person, a personality of the Godhead. Now, we need to notice, of course, that there are, again, three persons of the Godhead. So now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Us is a plural pronoun. Our image, that's plural. After our likeness, that's plural. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man was given dominion over the animals. Now, you see, the plural pronoun doesn't tell us how many are in the Godhead, but we know there's more than one. Now we go to Matthew 28. And verses 19 through 20, we'll see that there are three persons, personalities of the Godhead. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, authority, and of the Son, that's Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, that's the third person of the Godhead. Christ, beginning as the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Yes, and the Word was God, wasn't he? He was the Word at that time in the beginning. Now, he became the only begotten Son of God, John 1:14, full of grace and truth. And so he's the second person of the Godhead, God the Father being the first. Now, to finish out the verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Great Commission. We have three persons of the Godhead. And so when we're baptizing someone, we say that we're baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of their sins, of course, Acts 2:38 and other verses. Now let's go to Acts 17:29 and we'll see the term the Godhead. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Well, of course God is not what he created. No, the Godhead is not like that. The Godhead is made up of God the Father, God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the three persons of the Godhead. Colossians 2:9, here's another verse with the Godhead mentioned. For in him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus being God in the flesh. Yes, the Godhead bodily. So Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. He didn't just come into existence when he was born of the Virgin Mary. He was eternal and thus part of the Godhead. Now, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, capital W, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. One God, but three distinct persons of the Godhead, or personalities of the Godhead, we could say. And so we need to appreciate the Holy Spirit is co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All three members of the Godhead work together in creation of all things. God the Father being the designer or the planner. It was in his mind from the beginning. God planned everything. And this would go with the scheme of redemption as well. It was in God's mind from the beginning. Now, the Word was the executor of the plan of creation. God's plan was put into effect by the Word speaking, and things came into existence. All things, that is, of matter. And that's John 1:1-3, is it not? And other verses showing the second person of the Godhead brought things into existence. Now, the Holy Spirit was the organizer, as you see in Genesis 1:2. Moved upon the face of the deep, the Holy Spirit did. As there was, you know, without form the earth was. And thus the Holy Spirit organized creation. And so in the plan of salvation, again, the Father is the planner. Christ executed the plan by becoming flesh and dying on the cross for our sins as the innocent Lamb of God. And the Holy Spirit, again, is the organizer in the scheme of redemption. inspiring the writers of all the books of the Bible, bringing forth the seed that needs to be planted in our hearts and germinate and produce a Christian. So the Holy Spirit has the attributes of deity, and our time is drawing nigh here. I had planned to get into this, but we'll want to do this, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, in looking at the divine attributes of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, looking at them together. We want to do that as well, Lord willing. And so at this time, I want us to think about what we have looked at this morning. The fact that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, personality of the Godhead, as the Godhead is made up of three distinct personalities: God the Father, God the Word, who became the only begotten Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And accept what the Bible says concerning the Holy Spirit, as He is working through the Word of God, as the seed is planted in our heart. If we're honest, it's going to produce a Christian. And this is the law of sowing and reaping. I wish we had more time to go into more of that. But let's accept what God's Word says. And now, as we noticed, the work of all three personalities of the Godhead in creation and in the plan of salvation, in the scheme of redemption. And certainly, if we have not obeyed the gospel, we need to do so. What's more important than becoming a Christian, a child of God? Well, you couldn't name anything more important than that. Have you accepted the Word of God into your heart? Have I? I need to ask myself. Have I allowed the Word of God to germinate, to produce a Christian? And as you submit to the gospel of Christ, as of course you have to hear the truth, that's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins. He submitted to His Father's will and went to the cross, not for His sins, but ours. That should motivate us, once we believe that, John 8:24, to repent. Get out of living a sinful life. Turn to God and allow God to direct our steps. Certainly we need to turn away from a sinful life. That's changing our will. Luke 13:3-5, we must repent. And then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. Now once I do that, I'm ready to be baptized. Baptized into Christ, where I'm going to contact His precious blood that washes away my sins. And as I come up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, the Lord adds me to His body, the true church, where I need to remain faithful, even if it meant my death. We thank you so much for listening today.